Hello and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. Hi, my name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast. I am thrilled today to get a chance to interview our guest, Lieutenant Governor of Utah, Deidre Henderson. I have long admired Lieutenant Governor Henderson's advocacy on behalf of women and families in Utah. She has an incredible, inspiring story of how she got involved in political service, and I jumped at the opportunity to talk with her today about her story and women running for political office. I'm really eager to hear all about it and to hear her wisdom for us. So let's get started. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure, Audrey. Thank you.
Would you introduce yourself, maybe tell us a little bit about your background and your experiences that led you to where you are today?
Yeah, for sure. I'm a mom. I have five kids. Three of my daughters are married. I have four daughters and one son. I have two grandbabies, two little boys. In fact, one is just approaching, the oldest is just approaching his first birthday. So they're both under the age of one right now. And I've been married for 29 years. And that's been incredible. I got married young after my freshman year at BYU. I did what I swore I would never do. In fact, I was going to graduate from BYU and serve a mission back in the olden days. Women had to be 21 to serve a mission. So that was my goal. And life had other plans for me. I ended up getting married after my freshman year. And by the time I was old enough to serve a mission, I had two children. So that didn't happen. I also put my education on hold for a long time because of the demands of having a family and trying to get my husband through physical therapy school and raising my children. I had five babies in 8 years. And, I just graduated this year, finally, from BYU. It took me 28 years to get to finish my bachelor's degree, but I got my bachelor's degree in history, and I'm really proud of that, and hope that it helps inspire other women to go back to school if they want to, and to not be afraid of taking that step. I was elected to the Utah Senate in 2012, and I served two four-year terms. In 2020, instead of running for a third term to the Utah State Senate, I was actually asked by then Lieutenant Governor Spencer Cox to join his ticket and run as his running mate for Lieutenant Governor. He was running for governor. And so I decided to give up a sure re-election to the Senate and in favor of a not sure, very difficult race for Lieutenant Governor. It was a tight race, one that I knew there was a possibility that we wouldn't win, and I had to be okay with that and have a plan B. And so it's been a real honor to serve in government positions and to get involved and to see that one person can and does make a difference. It's not hard to make a difference in our state and our form of government, and to try to be a champion for other women, paving the path a little bit for the people who hopefully are coming behind me.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've been such a big proponent of women and families during your time in public office. Have you seen any changes since you started your political career with how women are thinking about running for office or how they're treated when they're elected and those types of things? How have things changed?
Well, it's a good question, and they absolutely have changed, I think, for the better. When I was elected to the Senate in 2012, I'm a Republican, and to put it into perspective, there are 29 state senators in the state of Utah, and when I was elected, there were 24 of those 29 were Republicans, but I doubled, my election doubled the number of Republican women in the Utah State Senate, so I went from one to two, and I really wasn't aware of the difference it makes. I'd always thought, you know, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman, you know, if it matters what your principles are. And that's very true. It does matter what your principles are. But it did not take me very long being in the state Senate to see that it also matters what your perspective is, what your lived experiences are, because there are a lot of different ways to deal with a problem. And there are a lot of ways to see problems and to see what's there or what isn't there. I liken it to walking around with one eye open. If you've just got one, you know, if you've just got the man's perspective on things, it's not that what they see isn't good or right or there, but it's like walking around with one eye open. You just don't see the whole picture. You got to have both eyes open to see the whole picture. And that's really valuable, a valuable perspective. So I've been really pushing my party the whole time I've been involved in saying, look, we shouldn't be saying it doesn't matter. We should absolutely be embracing the fact that we need more women in public office, more women involved in local government, more women involved in the public square in any capacity. That's really, really important. And, you know, I sometimes get criticized for that, but to me, it's so important that I'm willing to push those boundaries. And I feel like we're now seeing more women wanting to get involved, more organizations getting started like yours that are, you know, with that focus of trying to help support other women, because that support and the just the validation that their voices are needed is so critical to getting more women involved. And overcoming the inherent barriers that so many people face, and getting them to feel like those mountains are worth climbing.
Uh-huh. So how do we do that? Because that's what we focus on a lot in Project Elect. We try and convince women that, you know, to see themselves running for office or getting more involved in public service. And a lot of them feel like they're not qualified. You know, they don't want to do it. They don't think it's that important. What would you tell a woman who has that perspective?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I never set out to become lieutenant governor. I never set out to become a state senator. I was a stay-at-home mom really the whole time my kids were young, and I spent 13 years pretty much doing little else other than wiping noses and bottoms. That's what I did. And what's what I wanted to do. I loved it. But there came a point too, when my youngest was starting school, where I felt a call to do more, to get more involved in my community. And I did not know what that looked like. I had no idea. And I actually, it was the fall of 2007 when my youngest started preschool. And I started praying. I was praying a lot for some guidance, for just to see where the open doors or the cracks, you know, in the doors were, so that I knew what doors could be opened and get some direction. And in January of 2008, I met a candidate who was running for Congress. And I had no experience whatsoever. I'd only voted, and I was kind of a political junkie. I liked watching the news and paying attention to politics, mostly national, not state or local. But I had never done anything more than voting. And I had never been to a caucus. I didn't even know what a caucus was. I didn't know what a delegate was. I didn't know any of that stuff. When in January of 2008, I met this guy running for Congress, and he needed volunteers, and he didn't have money to pay people who actually knew what they were doing. So he got people like me, who were willing to do a lot of things for free, basically. And I ended up getting a lot of experience. I worked that whole year for him for free. We got him elected. And then he hired me to run his political operation, which I did out of my laundry room in Spanish Fork for the next few years. But because I was willing to get in and do things, especially do things for free, that I wasn't qualified for these jobs, right? That was just because he couldn't afford to pay people who were qualified. And so I ended up getting a lot of experience. And that to me was foundational to my future. And because I made phone calls, and I did it, even though I remember the first time I got the call list, you know, that he wanted me to call all these delegates, and I was terrified. I was really worried about people telling me no or being mad at me or irritated. I had had tried to sell some stuff a few years before that. And I remember the first time I went in to try to sell something and I got told no, and I went out to my car and started crying. And so I was nervous about this, and I didn't like rejection. But I did things that scared me. I didn't let my fears dictate my behaviors. I just pushed past it, tried to overcome any of that fear I had and doubt, and learned a lot of things along the way. One of the things that was really cool through all of that is, because of those experiences, I was able to, when the opportunity came, when a new Senate seat was opened up in South Utah County because of the redistricting that happened a decade ago, I was actually able to say, you know what, I'm going to do that. I'm going to run for that seat. Because did I feel totally qualified? No. And I was terrified and I almost didn't do it, but I certainly wouldn't have done it if I hadn't have taken all of those steps to prepare myself along the way. So I think the key is just gradual preparation. Just always be doing things that can prepare you for something that's next, that can make you better. Don't take counsel from your fears. Recognize fear for what it is. And maybe there's always a good reason. There might be a good reason not to do something, but being afraid of it is not ever a good reason to do it, being afraid of failure. So overcoming those inhibitions and just doing things little by little, it doesn't have to be all at once. You don't go from stay-at-home mom that has zero political experience to lieutenant governor in one step, but you never know what paths are going to you're going to find yourself on. So doing things, learning along the way, being open to new experiences. I think that is the best thing that women can do to be prepared. And then to jump in and recognize they don't have to know everything about something before they start to do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, politics is so much like that. You have to learn by doing it. That's really the best way to learn. I love that story that you were kind of praying for an opportunity to be more involved. You found an opportunity, you volunteered, and then it led you to different directions you wouldn't have necessarily foreseen at the beginning. But it's such an inspiring story that you didn't feel qualified, but you did it anyway, and you've
right.
done so many great things.
I used to joke, I'm really glad I didn't know in January of 2008. What that year would look like in advance, because I never would have done it if I would have known. There was a lot of hard things, a lot of work involved in that year of volunteering for a congressional candidate. And yet I'm so glad that I didn't know, because I'm really glad that I did those things and got the experience that I did get. It really opened up new doors for me that never would have opened otherwise.
Mm-hmm. That's incredible. That's such an incredible story. And I love how, you have in office started this returnship program that lets women who maybe were stay-at-home moms or had other experience and want to change what they're doing, or, anybody, but women especially who, have been out of the workforce for a while. It's such a great opportunity to get them back in. And why did you see the need for this program, and how have you seen it kind of make a difference?
Well, I mean, as a stay-at-home mom for a lot of years, and before I got involved in politics, I really, needed a hand to help me know how to navigate and get involved. And I found some good mentors along the way. But when I became lieutenant governor, we've always had interns in the legislature, in the governor's and lieutenant governor's offices. But I had heard about a returnship program, not in government, but in the private sector. And I loved the idea of helping people, primarily women, but anybody who's been out of the workforce for an extended period of time, help them figure out how to get back in. Because I knew how hard it was to feel like I don't have any qualifications. My experiences as a stay-at-home mom, as someone who did stuff around my community, those were valuable experiences, but they don't look all that great on a resume. And we just you know, employers just reject out of hand resumes that don't have relevant current experience on them. But how do we help people get that training, get their foot in the door, get some confidence, and get some relevant paid experience to put on their resumes so that if and when they want to get back into the workforce, we're here to help them do that. The internships are great programs. That's with college students. But the returnship programs, you know, they're not able to be an intern. In fact, a funny story. So I mentioned I had dropped out of school after I got married, and I took classes, independent study classes here and there. And in 2014, I went back to school, one class, political science class on campus at BYU. And I had just finished serving my second year in the state Senate. So I'd gone through two legislative sessions, 2 years in the state Senate, almost 2 years in the state Senate. Anyway, I'm sitting there in class one day, and the department heads come in to talk about legislative internship opportunities. And I'm sitting there going, oh man, I hope they don't recognize me. Because I was at the time, I was like really embarrassed about the fact that I hadn't finished college. And I thought it was a real ding against me. If people knew, I mean, it's hard enough sometimes to be a woman in these settings. But if you're a woman who's perceived as quote unquote uneducated, or, you know, it was a source of shame and embarrassment for me. And I'm sitting there in this class and they're talking about legislative internship opportunities. And I realized with great horror and also with some mild amusement that I did not qualify to be my own intern. I did not have enough credits to qualify to even apply for the legislative internship program. However, I was perfectly qualified and capable to be the senator, but not my intern. And so I thought in that moment, I thought, okay, that's ridiculous. And I really need to stop being ashamed of the fact that I haven't finished college yet. There are a lot of people, a lot of women who are in my situation who had to put their college education and their dreams and some of their, you know, ambitions on hold in order to support their husbands and their children and their families. And that happens. It happens to lots and lots of people. And there's no shame in that. And so I decided to just own it and embrace it and talk about it. I've been very open about the fact that I've been on this college journey over the past few years. And in hoping that it helps other people, you know, see that they can do it too. If I can be like the most non-traditional student possible, then they can too. And part of that internship experience, so seeing that I didn't qualify to be my own intern is kind of what has helped shape this idea of bringing returners in, this returnship program, because it's giving opportunities to a different group of people that really do need or want to have that re-entrance into the workforce without starting clear down at the bottom of the career ladder.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that is an incredible story. I'm so glad that you decided to own it and share it, because I know you've inspired so many women with that story and how you went back to school and started letting women come in who maybe weren't as educated yet. It's just incredible. And it also goes to what you were saying before about why it's so important to have women in office who can see this perspective and who have these life experiences and can help the people who need it. Because they know they need it. Otherwise, who would have known that? And so that's incredible. I wanted to talk a little bit about, you said how you doubled the number of female Republican state senators when you joined the legislature. And how were you able to get your voice heard in the legislature and become such an effective senator despite that fact?
Well, you know what? I actually... I had pretty low expectations. I hate to say it, but I really did expect that maybe I would be kind of sidelined and pat on the head and not given opportunities because I was one of only two women in the Republican caucus, in the majority caucus. But that was not my experience. And I was given the Senate president at the time, Wayne Niederhauser, was very supportive of me even early on in my campaign, And once I was elected, he came to me and he said, okay, what committee assignments do you want? You know, and he asked every senator, you know, every 2 years gets to say what committee assignments they want. And then the Senate president gets to divvy those out. I told him I wanted to be on the Revenue and Taxation Committee. You know, I gave him my little list of committees, and I really did. I didn't necessarily want some of the, I really wanted to be on that really heavy policy, in those policy spaces. But he called me back a few weeks later and told me that he was making me the chair of the Revenue and Taxation Committee. And I was really worried about that. I mean, I was honored. But of course, all of my self-doubt came crashing through. I was the only woman on the committee. The other committee members we had, one of them was the president of the Utah Taxpayers Association. We had one who was a tax attorney. We had one that was a CPA. And then there was me with no college degree and no experience whatsoever, not only not in state government, but not with tax law or chairing a committee or anything. And I remember calling my dad, who passed away earlier this summer, calling him and saying, what in the world have I gotten myself into? And him saying, Deidre, you got this. You're going to be fine. Just go learn. And so I did. I read the tax code, which is riveting. It's a riveting piece of literature, if anybody's interested. And I had, you know, mock committee hearings before I was ever sworn in with the committee staff. Learned how to chair a committee, the rules of procedure, all of these things that I practiced in advance. Years later, one of the senators came up to me who was on that committee with me for a long time. And he said, you know, Deidre, you were just a natural. You were so good at chairing that committee. I couldn't believe it. It came so naturally to you. And I laughed and I'm like, are you kidding me? There was nothing natural about that. I worked really, really hard. I studied, I practiced, I dug in and learned because I didn't know. It wasn't inherent. It wasn't natural. And I think that's my biggest takeaway. And what I love to tell people, especially women, is it's okay if you don't know everything up front. You don't have to. You can learn along the way, and you got to work hard. You got to overcome any of your own, especially your own inhibitions. But you can, and you don't have to know everything up front to dig in and do something big and important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's such great advice. It's amazing how people always see other people doing something and they say, oh, they're natural. I could never do that. But really, they don't see all the work and all the background. And so I appreciate you sharing that and letting us know it wasn't easy.
Right? I have self-doubt every single day and that I have to overcome. I suppose it's normal. I suppose other people have self-doubt, but I feel like it's important for people to know I have it too. I question myself. I'm afraid every day of things. And those are the times that I think, okay, if I'm afraid of this, that means I probably need to just go ahead and do it. And I probably need to do it more often. and overcoming those negative voices in my head is a daily challenge.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it is for many of us, but not everyone's comfortable with sharing that. And it really, I think, helps and it motivates other people to recognize that everybody's just like them. Everybody's got that self-doubt. Well, I know your time is very precious and we are almost out of time. I wanted to ask if you had an invitation for our audience of something they could do or learn or go out and get closer to getting involved in public service or maybe ramp it up a little.
You know, public service can look like a lot of things, and you don't have to be elected to public office to make an impact. Although we need more women to do that, but we also need women to do other things. You don't have to do something big either to make a difference. So few people really bother to step up and to raise their hands and to speak out. Those that do really can make a huge difference in the lives of others. We need women to step up, to speak out, to recognize that their perspective is valuable. You can serve on boards and commissions. There's the boards and commissions website that has hundreds of positions, boards and commission positions that you can apply for. That's a really good way to kind of dip your toe in the water and get to know certain issues. Talk to your legislators, start to pay attention to local and state politics. Those are far more important and impactful than any national politics are. But more than anything, be a voice in your community and be a voice in the way you do things matters. Be a respectful voice, a voice that's empathetic and caring about others and recognizes that that just because someone disagrees with you doesn't mean they're a bad person. It just means that you have a difference of opinion. We need more of that in our public discourse. We need to step up our civic engagement across the board. And women in the state of Utah are keys to that. And their effects will be generational.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Thank you so much for joining us today. This was such an inspiring discussion. I feel like I want to go out and do everything now and overcome all my self-doubt. So I really appreciate you joining us, and hopefully we can connect again. Thank you for listening to the Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. We'd love if you would subscribe, rate, or give us a review on iTunes. Until next time.